The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Business Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericabusiness.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Financial technology, or fintech, is one of the fastest growing industries in the world today, with New York, London, Tel Aviv, Edinburgh, Singapore, Moscow, and other major cities all vying for a piece of the action. Welcome to Breaking Banks, the first dedicated radio show that focuses on how this new boom is changing everything, from the way we bank to the very concept of money itself. Now, here's your host, Brett King.
Hey guys, welcome back to Breaking Banks. We are live from New York, but we have a show on Russia today. So all of our guests are coming in from Russia, so it's pretty exciting. Or from Russian businesses anyway. So we're going to be talking about the fintech scene out there. Just before we get into that, just for fun, PewDiePie. You know, I'm a big fan of PewDiePie. He's got his own network, Revel Mode. If you want it, you can check it out on Fortune. You know, PewDiePie is the number one YouTube star on the planet today. This guy makes millions of dollars a year through YouTube. If you don't know who he is, Swedish guy Felix Arvid Kjellberg from Sweden. Interesting guy. Really has changed the way we think about content distribution. You know, really, he has more viewers collectively on his YouTube channel than all of the major cable networks in the U.S. combined. How's that? Pretty incredible stuff. In more news, I don't know if you saw this, but John Biggs, who is the East Coast editor of TechCrunch, I'm having trouble talking today, so I've still got this cold, but he left TechCrunch, which he said was the best job ever, to launch a fintech startup. The fintech startup's called FreeMint. So, you know, maybe this is more evidence for the bubble discussion because, you know, when someone at TechCrunch leaves to start a fintech up, then, that's always, we are now mainstream. Fintech is no longer specialized. On the rest of the stuff that's happening, financial accelerators winding down at the moment, according to Forrester. New York subway and buses, they're going contactless in 2018. And the Fed has handed off to IBM the contract to modernize the ACH platform. So real-time payments, big deal. IBM's won a $17 million tender there to modernize the Fed's ACH system, which is long, long overdue. So this is pretty cool. Okay, so let's get to talking about the fintech scene and what is happening in basically modernizing the banking system in Russia and the CIS states. To that end, we'd like to invite two really amazing people from that part of the world, Viktor Orlov and Lev Kasis. Lev is the CIO of Sberbank. That's correct, isn't it, Lev?
COO.
COO, sorry. My apologies. I should know that by now, given that Sberbank's an investor in Movin. And for those of you that aren't familiar with Lev's career, he launched for Walmart, one of their big international parts of their business in sort of new concept stuff for Walmart offshore, and worked for them for many years. Viktor Orlov, Viktor, welcome to the show. Viktor, you there?
Yes, hello, I'm here.
Hey, good.
That's correct, Brett. Viktor Orlovsky, I attend.
Yes, so Viktor now runs the Sberbank Ventures arm called Moneytime Ventures. So welcome to the show also, Viktor.
Thank you.
Now, Lev, let's start with you. I think everybody knows who Sberbank is, but for those who don't know Sberbank and just the pure scale of the largest retail bank in Russia, tell us about Sberbank.
Hello, good afternoon, everybody, and happy to be with you, Brett. Thank you for the invitation. Sberbank is the largest bank in Central and Eastern Europe. We have about 300,000 employees, They are working for us in Russia and in other 20 countries of Central and Eastern Europe. And we have probably about $10 billion of net profit. We had it a year ago. Now it would be much lower because of the current geopolitical situation and macroeconomical situation. But still, we are really the largest financial institution in this area.
And you've got 300,000 employees. How many customers do you have?
We have 6 million retail customers, and we have about 1.3 million corporate customers. So really a lot.
Yeah, that's amazing. So with Sberbank, you know, we've been hearing some news about you in the press recently in terms of some of the innovation you're doing. What is the overall view of innovation at Sberbank? Do you think that a bank like Sberbank can lead, or are you a fast follower, an adopter of this stuff after it breaks?
Brad, thank you for the great question. I think in some areas we lead, such as big data, predictive analytics, P2P transactions, etc. And in some areas, we follow and experiment along with the others, like blockchain, SME micro-lending, and others. We're not one of many players on the national market. We're the market maker. We have a huge influence on the economy of the country in general, and in banking sector in particular. And we are building the best practices. We put a lot of effort in adopting innovations and learning how to work with fintech startups. And as part of the process, we run massive educational programs for top and middle management for both our own and our corporate clients. We have implemented special gateways to enable startups to work with us. And it includes our innovation labs in our business units, our R&D teams, and digital ventures, dedicated teams, and fast-track processes for fintech implementation. So I suppose we consistently innovate our digital banking. By the way, the last year we were awarded the best online and mobile bank in Central Eastern Europe. And our Turkish subsidiary, Denizbank Bank, was awarded the most innovating bank in the world. So we are in good shape, but nevertheless, I suppose that we have to move quicker and be more, let's say, bold in implementation of the modern technologies.
So you do feel a little bit of pressure because of the fintechs that are coming? You feel like you have to move fast, or... How do you foster innovation in an organization as big as Sberbank?
You know, I can tell you that at the moment, the speed of development of new technologies is just amazing. And really, the key driver should be the speed, the agile approach, and our readiness for sometimes tough decisions when a potential disruptive technology is coming. So it's really a situation when there is a huge gap between our existing technologies and, let's say, new coming high-tech technologies. And this gap is growing, so the quicker we will be in implementation of the new technologies, the more chances to our success in the future.
Okay, so what I'd like to do is I'd like to come back to you in a moment, Lev, but before we do that, let me just ask Victor a couple of questions. Actually, can I ask you, Lev, just to put your line on mute for a moment? We're just getting some line in the background. Victor,
yes,
so first of all, my apologies. I called you Victor Orlov. It's Victor Orlovsky, of course. We've known each other for years. So I don't know why I made that mistake. I'm going to blame my cold. I'm going to blame okay. My brain is foggy today. But first of all, let me ask about, you know, in response to sort of all this fintech trends and stuff that's been happening, Sberbank established a venture arm a couple of years ago. So why did Sberbank feel it was necessary to build a venture arm?
Well, you know, our chairman and president keep saying that we are not competing with banks. We are now more competing with high-tech companies, naming them, being them Google or Facebook or others. And definitely this is true in the financial services area. Everybody is entering this field of payments, settlements, trade finance, lending, and obviously, well, to compete with these companies, we have to approach the same way they do in terms of bringing innovation in.
So part of this is a really about Sberbank learning how to compete, yeah?
Well, we are learning how to compete, and we're also learning how to work with the small but very fast moving companies in technology area, and you know, banks are really good working with large corporates in technology space, but they're not really good working with small companies. It's really hard for the small company, for the startup, to start working with the bank. So with any bank, basically, and well, venture arm we need is just to learn more on what is going on, to keep an eye on the venture fintech ecosystem, but more importantly, to have a fast track and implementation of newly evolving high-tech companies in Sberbank. So my role in being a GP in the fund is to accelerate the implementation of the fintech into the banking ecosystem in Sberbank by applying new business models and new technologies. So main thing.
And of course, you know the ecosystem within Sberbank well, because you used to lead digital for Sberbank, right?
Well, I was the CTO for the bank for nearly 5 years, and then I became I had a new role of chief digital officer. So we're building this ecosystem inside the bank. Basically, there are two ways we enter into fintech. One is the strategic arm, so we are buying in the startups which we like the most, and the second is the venture arm, through which we invest the minority shares, and then we see how the company evolves. But we definitely make sure that the companies which we invest in to get the commercial agreement with the bank. So that's the most important thing we are dealing with, is to bring in the companies which we are investing into in the commercial relationship with Sberbank.
Good. So, Lev, let me come back to you now for a question. And this is more related to, you know, on the last show we had Jim Morales on talking about the big predictions for 2016 in terms of fintech. So let me ask you that as a, you know, someone that's really plugged in into what's happening in Central Europe and Russia. You know, in that part of the world, what is going to be the biggest fintech trends and advancements in 2016? What do you expect to be big this year?
Thank you, Brett. And I don't think that Central and Eastern Europe is very different than the other regions of the world. And I'm not sure if everything what I'm going to tell you happened in 2016. But within a few years, we will see a lot of new cool technologies in the banking industry, like a blockchain technology evolution. We will see massive migration of plastic cards and the entire banking experience to mobile. We will see more gamification. We will see, let's say, more anomalies detection through big data analysis in risk management. We'll see new mechanics in SME lending new approaches in cybersecurity and fraud prevention. We'll see a lot of new innovations, and new approaches in online education and HR management. I would also add to this list robo-advising and artificial intelligence in general, as well as the growth of P2P interactions. So I don't think it's a full list, but really I'm excited about the opportunities which are ahead of us.
So let me ask you specifically about one of those, because in the news recently, you're the first major bank that's announced this in Russia that I'm aware of, but you announced that you're going to be doing some work on blockchain. So tell me, how do you anticipate you'll adopt or use blockchain within the bank? What are you thinking of at this point?
It's an excellent question. As for me personally, I am a big fan of blockchain technologies, and I suppose that in the future there are a lot of potential ways to use these technologies. At the same time, at the moment, I would say that a blockchain technology, it's something like a teenager sex. So everybody talks about it, but there is not too many experience. I think blockchain as a technology will evolve over time. I personally believe that we won't see massive implementations in 2016, but this will be the time when both authorities and banks will learn how to deal with blockchain in the best way. We will try to play a constructive role in piloting and adopting the technology, and as soon as it's practical, we will be ready to implement it. So this is really a cool stuff, but I suppose we have to be careful with promising and any guidance about the timing of implementation of these technologies in practical life.
So let me ask you one more question sort of in relation to that. Victor was talking about the challenges of, fintechs working with banks like Sberbank. And, running a fintech myself, like Moovin, we find the procurement process one of the most problematic parts of a relationship with a big bank, because it's where it really kills you. Right, you spend months working on legal documents and things like this, which, is not a core competency of a fintech. So, as a COO of Sberbank, how do you help fintechs work with a bank like Sberbank?
Wow, it's a tough question, by the way. I suppose that we are trying to create, let me call it, gateways. We have special gateways to enable startups to work with the bank, including our innovation labs in business units, as I said. We have a couple of very advanced R&D team and digital ventures. We have both in-house, which Victor previously led, and we have our investment fund, which Victor leads at the moment, which is our special venture investment arm, which helps us to work with financial startups, including almost a couple of dozens of fintech startups around the globe. And I suppose that a lot of the technologies in which we invested, we can very successfully implement in Russia as well.
Very good. So listen, we're about to take a break, but before that, Lev, just sort of a more general question. What are you excited about this year for Sberbank?
I think a lot of things we have to be proud of, but probably the most is our success in implementation of a few new technologies like mobile checkout, data management, and also we implemented a very advanced real-time bidding platform, which is a kind of a pro, let's say, it's a platform for the really big data mining, and we'll call it in the future data factory, which will help us to use massive amount of data we have for different purposes, helping ourselves and our clients to live better.
Fantastic.
So, mobile banking. I think our mobile banking is really one of the best in the world, but I suppose it's going to be even better very soon with some additional features we are going to implement. So I just can't talk about it endlessly. Sorry for consuming the time of your show.
That's fine. Okay, so Lev, if I could get you to put your line on mute because we're getting a bit of that fallback noise as well again, but that was fantastic. Victor, stick around because I've got some more questions for you.
Sure.
To the break. But just before the break, a quick thank you out to Temenos, our sponsor. They're having an innovation jam on March the 10th at the Temenos America's Innovation Jam. I think it's in Florida, isn't that right, Rachel? Yeah. I'll be there. I'm going to give a keynote and some feedback on the innovation stuff that they're working on. Check it out on Breaking Bank's website or temenos.com. But for now, listen, we're going to take a quick break and then we'll have some more questions for Victor Orlovsky at Moneytone Ventures. We'll be right back after this break.
What do you want your world to look like in 2030? This is Rachel Morrissey, the producer of Breaking Banks, and we are joining the UN Global Goals Initiative and participating in Radio Everyone this week from September 25th to October 2nd. Global Goals is a 15-year plan to address 17 specific goals to end poverty, fight inequality, and fix climate change. To find out more about Global Goals and Radio Everyone, go to www.globalgoals.org.
When you're looking for the right place to eat, there's an app for that. When you need directions getting there, there's an app for that. And if you're trying to make a healthy choice, there's an app for that. But what about an app that tells you how you're doing with your money? Now, there's an app for that. It's called Moovin, a free app and debit account that automatically tracks your spending. You get real-time feedback with every purchase you make and a debit account with no overdraft or monthly fees. So if you want to stay on track with your money, download the Moovin app for free on iPhone or Android and check out Moovin.com. That's Moovin.com.
Today, make that long overdue call to your bank and thank them. Thank them for a checking account, one that has a minimum balance and penalties for going below it. Thank them for a savings account, one that has almost no interest and charges statement fees to let you know it. Most of all, thank them for overdraft fees and all those other fees you never even knew existed. Thank them today. Why? Because the future of banking is here, and it's not just what you want, it's what you deserve. Moovin is a free app and debit card with no overdraft, ATM, or monthly fees. Best of all, you get an instant receipt every time you make a purchase, and daily feedback on your spending so you can always be on top of your money. So make that call to your bank and say thanks, but no thanks. And when you're done, download the free app and get Moovin today.
From the boardroom to you, Voice America Business Network.
You're listening to Breaking Banks featuring your host, Brett King. To reach the show today, please call 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. Or join the conversation on Twitter by using the hashtag BreakingBanks. Now, back to the program.
Hey guys, you are back with Breaking Banks.
добавить другой канал. Сейчас вам отправлю смс. Там в письме есть, нужно что-то поменять.
Oh, you're talking on the other line. Could you just put on mute? Thanks. Just before we went to the break, we had Victor Orlovsky and Lev Karsas from Sberbank. Victor handles Moneytime Ventures, their new venture arm, or their revised venture arm. Lev's the chief operating officer. Victor, just to ask you a little bit more about the investment strategy this year. What are you focusing on this year in terms of investments for the venture arm?
Well, you know, we have a couple of great companies which we reinvested into through the venture arm I'm managing. There are companies in Israel, in United States, in United Kingdom, in Singapore. So we are in fintech spaces, you know, but this is a very broad sense of fintech. For example, we are investing in cybersecurity, in big data, P2P lending. We also recently invested into in-memory processing company. So this is purely technology stuff. So the average size, the average ticket is around $4 million. So we prefer to invest into Series A to Series B. So this is an early stage yet for the fintech startups. As I said, so we are globally diversified, but apart from giving the capital, we are giving away more than that. We are giving the fast track, and that what Lev mentioned, the contractual relationship with Sberbank, and not only because we are the experts in Russian market. And it's a big market, almost 150 million people, almost 4 million corporates. Obviously, we being on the Russian market, so we may plug in the technology and business models to Russia, leveraging Sberbank and our knowledge in the Russian market. And also, we are thinking of getting Russian startups in fintech space away outside of Russia. We have big operations in Turkey. We have a number of banks in presence in Central and Eastern Europe. So we definitely want to leverage all this. And we are definitely looking for partnership with venture funds in US and other parts of the world. So we hopefully will get really good deals in the coming year.
Very, very interesting. So let me ask you about the differences between sort of the Russian VC and startup ecosystem and what you see elsewhere in the world. Is there a particular style to the way, you know, the VC market works in Russia? What would you say is outstanding about the Russian ecosystem there?
You know, the outstanding is the talent pool. I do believe that there are still a lot of talents here in Russia. And you mentioned the blockchain. As you know, there are many startups in blockchain space which are founded by Russians. One of them is Ethereum, founded by Vitalik Buterin.
Ethereum started in Russia?
Not at all, but it is started by Russian roots, say former Russians, and Russian mathematicians and programmers are really famous across the globe. I do believe that
Vitalik is the founder, right?
Vitalik is the founder of Ethereum. This is the most renowned blockchain fintech startup, and as you know, he is he has Russian roots.
He's Russian, but he moved to Canada, and that's where he went to college. He dropped out of college. If you guys haven't met Vitalik, or you don't know who we're talking about, check out Ethereum. Ethereum is one of the most interesting platforms for alternative uses of the blockchain rather than Bitcoin. this guy is super smart, isn't he, Victor? I mean, this guy's scary smart.
and I do believe that the blockchain is indeed, I mean, the largest potential of blockchain is not in the digital currency space or the cryptocurrencies, they're called, but in the trade finance, in settlements, in
contracting.
Lending, it could be everything in banking, basically. So any legal document can be, or agreement can be treated in blockchain and can perfectly work in blockchain. And that's what Vitalik is busy with. So I think that the most competitive advantage of Russia is the talent pool. And, you know, Russians are really famous for being talented and innovative and thinking differently. And I recently saw the startup ecosystem report by reputable U.S. agency, where Russian market was placed ranked second in the world by talent pool. Though it's still lacking money, obviously it's lacking an experience in managing startups. So as you know, many of Russian startups founded in Russia, but then become Californian or Israeli, Singaporean. So they just shift, but still they keep their roots. So the pool of programmers keep working in Russia. I'm not sure if you have any programmers in Moven who have Russian roots.
We have
I
a
would
couple.
Not be surprised if you have them.
The Russians are everywhere, Tovarich.
Okay.
Okay, so listen, talking about that, we've got to move on. We've got some other guests I need to bring on at this point, Victor. It's fantastic to have you. Lev and Victor, thank you both for joining the show today. We really appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you, brother.
And thank you for your ongoing support of MOVEN as well. I will say that to both of you on the air.
Thank you.
Okay.
We wish MOVEN the best.
Thank you very much. Yeah, well, things are on fire right now, so we'll talk more about that in another show. But so that was Victor Orlovsky and Lev Karsis from Sberbank and the Venture Arm, Money Time Ventures, talking about the scene there. Up now, we have Sergey Metelsky. Is that right? Sergey?
Hi, how are you?
Hey, and Eliza Ivanova from Diasoft. And Diasoft is, of course, one of the core technology providers in Russia, particularly around real-time core systems and this technology. But Sergey, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, and very good Russian pronunciation. I'm impressed, Brett.
Thank you. So tell me about Diasoft for those that don't know about you. And I have, just so you've got a visual here, I've got a Matryoshka doll from you guys that you must have sent me sitting on my desk here.
That's a very special doll. So I'm glad you're keeping it.
So tell me.
Lisa can tell you the story about this doll. It's... if I'm not mistaken, that was the one from the Paris show in the beginning of the last century. So it's got a story around it.
Okay. Well, we can hear that story in a moment for Eliza, but tell us first, tell us about Diasoft.
I missed the beginning of the show. That shows that I'm still technologically challenged. Probably not a good message for the IT company representative, but I know of the guys who are on the show from the Sberbank, Viktor Arlovsky and his colleague.
Yeah, Viktor says he knows you guys well.
Oh, of course he does. He recently presented in our office in Moscow, a very exciting presentation, and I know Viktor for a while. So Diasoft, I can say that we are the number one in the banking software space in Russia. And then we've kept this position for a while. Company is in mid-age. We're not young, but we're not old yet. We are at the right kind of age, creative age. We are we would be celebrating our 25th anniversary this year, so a quarter of a century. And as I said, we're number one in our space in Russia domestically, and we're moving internationally, which I'm particularly responsible for. We have 1,600 staff working predominantly in Russia, and some of them outside. Our total number of clients is reaching 400, and we work in the space of banking and insurance. That's all we do.
So let me ask you a little bit more about your platform, Flexterra, and tell me about the platform itself. When was it introduced, and is it real time?
Yes. As I said, we're 25 years old, and our mainstream product is Flexterra, as you rightly noted. It's relatively new. We started with its predecessors, and still majority of our client base is using the previous version of our core banking software. Flexterra started in 2005. And we used the potential, the intellectual capital we gained in previous years. So whatever we've learned in previous implementation installations, we put in a different architecture. It's a three-tier architecture, and it's a component-based, SOA-oriented architecture.
What's SOA architecture?
System-oriented architecture. It's a component-based.
Even though we have a lot of fintech people listening to the show, we also go out on the AM band, and so you know we're a general business channel here in New York. So sometimes we have to explain these terms.
Okay, fine. Sorry about that. So what it means that Flexterra is a core banking. It can work as a full-fledged core banking system, doing all aspects of modern commercial banking, but at the same time, each of the components, each of the modules could be taken out of the equation and could be interfaced to the existing back office. So it's a really pick and choose whatever functionality, whichever business process the bank's interested in, we can supply without changing the landscape of their IT. And that comes pretty much in demand. Most of the new contracts, most of the system replacement system requests we receive these days are not for core banking replacement per se, but it's for component replacement, add-ons. And that's where this system-oriented architecture comes very handy. We can deliver the business result quicker, cheaper, and which would risk significantly reduced. And that's the key advantage of this architecture. It's been supported by BIAN, Banking Industry Architecture Network, which were the full-fledged partners, and we participate in designing this this new landscape.
So let me ask you specifically about the mobile landscape in Russia. You know, what is mobile adoption like in Russia, you know, particularly, you know, use of mobile banking versus branch banking, for example? Where are you at on the adoption cycle?
Well, it's definitely growing year on year, and we have all of the major players launched the mobile banking, internet banking application, and the trend is definitely in this direction, which we are following. We have digital banking as a part of our Flexterra offering. We've achieved significant success. We published and made you aware of the significant award we achieved, which was from the IDC.
IDC, the FinTech Real Result. So specifically, did you get that award for?
that was the project of the digital banking transformation. And
maybe I can elaborate on this question.
Yes, Lisa, thank you very much, because I'm struggling with my notes here.
That's okay. Yes. So tell us about the award.
Yeah, hi, Brett. Hello, everybody. Thank you so much for inviting us to the show. And so recently Diasoft has received a very, very significant award from one of the leading analytical companies in the world, IDC. And we're really proud about this. So the story is that Rosenergobank is a leading Russian bank supporting like governmental institutions and also enterprises of the leading industries like oil and gas in Russia. And they also provide like the whole spectrum of retail services. Initially, Rosenergobank is the customer of Diasoft. They have our core banking system in place. And in 2014, Rosenergobank has felt an urgent necessity to replace its traditional branch-based model by an integrated channel approach that could allow the clients to be serviced across not only existing channels, but across the new one, like online and mobile banking. The bank realized that having multiple channels for customer servicing has become really crucial in today's reality of tough competitions and the new generation's requirements. So they decided to look for a really innovative digital platform that could help them to acquire new opportunities for business development. And in 2014, they started to look at the existing offerings, that existed in the Russian market. By results of really rigorous evaluation, Rosenergobank decided to go for Diasoft because we offered them a really interesting approach to dynamic digital environment, which implies like three key factors. First of all, of course, this is communication. Yeah.
Key factors. I thought you said freaky factors.
Yeah, yeah. First of all, it's communication. Of course, this is different channels. Of course, this is open APIs and integration with social networks. This is also proper channel support in the face of our front office solution. And last but not least, this is like security and analytics, because a lot of information comes from outside while integrating with social networks or with the third-party systems. So they really liked our approach. And as a result, we have delivered the project to Rosenergobank just within 6 months from initiation to go live.
So you did a complete core deployment in 6 months?
It's not core deployment. This is a digital platform deployment.
Okay, so you already had the core system in place. You put this on top of that. Is that right?
Yeah, they wanted to put it on top.
All right.
Yeah.
So listen, Lisa, let's just take a quick break, and then we'll just get a couple more questions from you after we come back from the break. Okay?
Oh, yeah.
All right. So you guys are listening to Breaking Banks. We're just going to have a quick break, and we'll be right back after these words from our sponsors. This is Brett King, the host of Breaking Banks. We've got some exciting news for you. We've just joined with Radio Everyone and the United Nations on their Global Goals Initiative. Now, this is a 15-year plan to address 17 specific goals to end poverty, fight inequality, and fix climate change. So, Breaking Banks, we're planning a special episode on October the 1st to talk about the organizations around the world that are using fintech to increase financial inclusion, to eradicate poverty, and reduce inequality. Join us at Breaking Banks and the team at Radio Everyone on the UN Global Goals Initiative to end poverty, fight inequality, and fix climate change.
Today, make that long overdue call to your bank and thank them. Thank them for a checking account, one that has a minimum balance and penalties for going below it. Thank them for a savings account, one that has almost no interest and charges statement fees to let you know it. Most of all, thank them for overdraft fees. and all those other fees you never even knew existed. Thank them today. Why? Because the future of banking is here, and it's not just what you want, it's what you deserve. Moovin is a free app and debit card with no overdraft, ATM, or monthly fees. Best of all, you get an instant receipt every time you make a purchase and daily feedback on your spending so you can always be on top of your money. So make that call to your bank and say thanks, but no thanks. And when you're done, download the free app and get Moovin today.
From the boardroom to you, Voice America Business Network.
You're listening to Breaking Banks featuring your host, Brett King. To reach the show today, please call 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. Or join the conversation on Twitter by using the hashtag Breaking Banks. Now, back to the program.
Listening to Breaking Banks, follow the conversation with the hashtag Breaking Banks on Twitter. For those of you for those of you listening, the stream is down, but you won't be listening if the stream is down. We're going to fix that. We're right in the middle of fixing that. So if you're having some trouble with the site, you'll hopefully get it fixed very quickly. Okay, so before we move on to Daniel, who's our last guest for the show, Sergey, what have you guys got planned this year for Diasoft? You got any changes planned this year? What's the big news for Diasoft in 2016?
Well, we will continue with our flagship product, Flexterra. We're developing new functionality, in particular in the digital space. We are working on extending the function, etc., etc. One of the new things, new things for us, we are introducing forms of the financial supermarkets. For example, things like loan origination systems. This business is moving outside of banks, so there are companies emerging who would outsource this business for banks, do this on the front line and act as a middle layer between customer and the banks. So we are participating in these initiatives very actively. There's a lot of activity in Southeast Asia, in Middle East, where I am now. So I see lots of opportunities in there.
Let me ask you one question. Have you guys thought about the blockchain? Are you looking at the blockchain we were talking about earlier?
Well, we are definitely looking at it. There are some. There are certain legal constraints in many countries, but we are definitely exploring this this area with great interest and. I can say that certain products would come out using the blockchain technology.
Yeah, so one of the interesting things, I don't know whether you heard this, but...
I heard the end of the conversation with Victor. He was talking about blockchain, but I didn't catch the start of it.
No, that's fine. I don't know. But one of the interesting things, that there's rumors that Facebook and Uber are moving to do stuff on blockchain at the moment, so investing in that. So very, very interesting times. So, Sergey and Eliza, thank you for joining us on Breaking Banks and telling us a little bit more about Diasoft and Flexterra.
Well, that's a pleasure of having us. Thank you for inviting.
No problem. Okay, our final guest for Breaking Banks today is a returning guest, Daniel Gusev. Daniel is the co-founder of a new startup out of Russia called PaySend. He's also a mentor for the Startup Bootcamp team that we've had on numerous times with Nick and Liz and the guys there. So, Daniel, welcome back to Breaking Banks.
Thank you so much for having me.
So I will ask you straight, tell us about Paysend, your new startup. You're the co-founder.
Yeah, it's, well, not my role. It's not my sole position. It's a great honor for me to be part of a great team of international players. And actually, the home, say, the home base for Paysend is not Moscow. As we started this thing in the European Union, as the core technology to try to borrow from Russia, where we successfully piloted this in 2011, being card-to-card money transfers, is to try and really allow the outside world to use the existing payment token that's universally adopted and reuse the card-based platforms proposed by the Visa, MasterCard, and other key payment schemes to initiate and receive remittances by using cards, which is much more effective in terms of using this token rather than using a bank account and or ramming all sorts of reference data you need to put in to initiate the payment. So
this is running off which rails right now?
We are core partners with Visa, as we've we'll talk to the United States office as well as the Moscow-based office. So we are partnering with Visa, but we also will a key certified partner of MasterCard as well.
Very interesting. So there's still, you know, it seems like these networks are underutilized for things like real-time payments, given that they are capable of doing this already. You know, we're talking about ACH and all these other things, but part of this infrastructure just needs to be used correctly. So tell me about, give us an update on what's happening in Russia more generally with fintech overall.
Well, the last year was really something of an eye opener with the Reserve Bank of Russia, having this huge gathering of people, including Sberbank people, including all sorts of different banks and all fintech players, gathering in Kazan just to discuss what's going on with regards to fintech and new technologies and the adoption of blockchain and all sorts of different things. Well, especially the CEO of Sberbank's been also chairing the key session. Central Bank started analyzing the play field and trying to understand what startups are really there and what help do they need. And a number of, our auxiliary institutes like Skolkovo Research Institute have also joined forces trying to calculate and come up with the very first research on the fintech industry in Russia, something that we'll probably have on our hands in coming months. And I gladly help them to research the subject.
Who's leading that research effort again?
Skolkovo, the Skolkovo Research Institute.
Where are they based?
The main innovation hub of Russia, called Skolkovo. It's just an outskirts of Moscow to the west.
Okay, cool. So what are we have Silicon Valley and Silicon Alley in New York, and there's the Silicon Roundabout in London. What's that version in Russia called?
Well, some proponents of fintech do say they're trying to create something in Moscow City, as there's been a news item of a bank-linked fintech space opening shop 2 to 3 months ago. I'm trying to do something with startup bootcamps.
So what would you call it, the Silicon Curtain?
That all depends on where, the political ramifications go and whether we'll have the total disbandment of them. Because we definitely will not be able to innovate with Balalaika.
There you go. What was it? Perestroika, right? Just doesn't really work for the whole Silicon push.
But. Yeah.
So where are you at with Paysend? Are you guys funded? Are you know, when we'll be live?
We're funded. We're probably, as you've heard, there's also
well, let's say a sister-based organization basically taking full reins over, Pearson being the majority shareholder of its, which is this digital space venture fund that I'm also, say, in sort of overseeing. So, as you know, we're doing many things, we're trying to be in many places. But we're properly funded, we're trying to deliver the solution. Yeah?
Yeah, I'm trying to be in 10 places at once. It's not working.
Yes. So there's no other way. You either have to do this or just you don't.
Oh, I'm Daniel. That's what I say.
Yeah. So we'll be at Finovate Europe presenting Paysend to the outside world, presenting on the 9th of February.
9th of February, yep. Yeah, I'm going to miss Finovate this year. I've got to go to India on the date that Finovate Europe's on. So Liz Lumley is going to be there representing us for Breaking Bank. So she's going to be doing some interviews and stuff on the ground there.
Cool.
So and in terms of when are you guys going to be live with Paysend? Are you in beta right now? Or?
No, we're still. We'll say we're testing the app. It's already there, so it's a mobile first solution. With a heavy element of API, they'll be able to license them to the existing issuing banks as we're trying to very much partner with them rather than work against them, as they still issue the cards and want to create yet another wallet for you to remit money to for them to send to any other wallet of sorts. So just a plain card-to-card scheme.
No, notice no one says they're mobile last.
Yeah. But we all understand all people are increasingly using mobile over a PC, so it's decreasing the importance for you to create a web-based solution.
During the week, use of computers for banking declines. And it was, okay, it's Reddit, yeah. And it was basically well-known mobiles to overtake and desktops. So a quick plug here, Daniel. Where can we find out about Paysend? Where can we get more information on it?
So the website's already there. So paysend.com. Just for 20 minutes prior to me going live on the show, I just will post the introductory medium post that it's also available on. Or through the social media, you can easily find it there.
Make sure you send that through to me, and we'll get it up. But we've got about 30 seconds left, so thank you for joining us, Daniel.
Thanks so much for having me.
Definitely have to have you back on once you're live and tell us about how Paysend is going.
Gladly.
Just a quick shout out, Rachel, our producer. She wants to give a shout out to The Big Cast with John Best, another podcast. You guys, if you haven't checked it out, check it out. And also, thanks again to our sponsor, Temenos. You can learn more about the Innovation Jam in Miami on breakingbanks.com and temenos.com. That's another show for this week. For those of you who had trouble with the stream, I apologize. You can catch it on iTunes or Stitcher or Podcaster later. And that's another Breaking Banks for this week, this time from Russia. So we heard all about Russia. Thanks again. We'll see you guys next week.
You've been listening to Breaking Banks with host Brett King. Please be sure to join us again next Thursday at noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time for more of the latest in fintech news.